Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal, the new sort of temporary quick version of Inside Arsenal that we're getting. There quite a few of you seem to be enjoying not hearing me rattle on for 15, 20 minutes. Seems like short format seems to be appealing to quite a few of you. I am away, as I think you probably all are aware by now, but I'm still trying to squeeze in the odd video when I can, just to talk about all things Arsenal as we head towards the weekend and then that big, big second leg against Bayern Munich in the Champions League next week. Of course, there is the game against Aston Villa on Saturday night. Before that, we'll talk about that in today's show. Look at some of the big decisions facing Mikel Arteta. I think he has got some key ones to make, especially with that game in Munich in mind, and a few positions he certainly needs to decide what to do with. So we'll talk about that. You guys have been sending in your comments and your opinions following the game against Bayern, the first leg. So we'll discuss some of those, some injury news coming out of Bayern ahead of the second leg as well. So let's get started, shall we? And I thought we'd start on what I think is probably the biggest decision facing Mikel Arteta this weekend, and not just this weekend, potentially for the rest of the season, actually. And that comes down to the left-back position at Arsenal. Now, in many ways, I think Mikel's pretty blessed with the options he has at left-back. You've got Zinchenko, you've got Tomiyasu, you've got Jakub Kivior, you've got Urijah Timber when he comes back fit. So it's not a lack of options or not a lack of quality options. It's just, who do you settle on? What do you do here? Do you rotate? Do you settle on one and go with it? We saw him with Jakub Kivior, having sort of left him out for a couple of games in the build-up to the Bayern game. He brought him back against Munich, struggled, no doubt about that. Only lasted the first half, was replaced by Zinchenko, who I thought played very well, actually, in the second half. I know there's been an interesting sort of, there's always a mix of opinions when it comes to Zinchenko and how he performs. It seems like, no, in my view anyway, no matter what he does, he's always going to get criticised by some. But I actually thought he did really, really well. I thought he negated the threat of Leroy Sané pretty well. There was a couple of incidents where maybe he left a little bit too much space, but that's going to happen. It's not just Zinchenko. That's going to happen with any left back, no matter how good you are, during a 45-minute appearance against a team like Bayern Munich with the threat they have out wide. But I thought, on the whole, he limited Leroy Sané. Sané's influence in the game certainly lessened as the second half wore on. And I thought Zinchenko, he got on the ball a lot, miles more than obviously Kivior did. And I thought he played a big part in Arsenal turning things around and getting a draw out of that game. So what do? Do you go bring Zinchenko in now and just think, you know what, I'm going to stick with you as my first choice for the rest of the season now. I'm going to go with you. Tomiyasu is definitely a very appealing option. I actually thought Tomiyasu would probably start against Bayern Munich. Didn't. It was Kivior. But you know, Tommy's a really good, solid option to play at left back for some of these games. Do you bring Tomiyasu in? I think Kivior might have played his way out a little bit. Look, he did really well when he came in. He was always the makeshift left back. He came in, I thought he did very, very well, and he showed how good he is, and he is a very good player. He's a really strong option for Arsenal. He gives a lot of versatility. You can play him in left-back, centre-back, of course. But I still feel, when you look at it, he is a makeshift. Out of all of them, he is the most makeshift of the options at left-back. So I do wonder if that appearance might well be the last time we see, not him for the season, but maybe the last time we see him start a really big game for Arsenal between at left-back between now and the end of the season. Timber, of course, I think out of all of them, Timber might be, in Mikel's thinking, potentially the long-term option in that position. But as we know, he's been injured all season. He is now back in training, but I can't see him coming in and suddenly being thrown into the team at the business end of the season after so long out. So it's what you do at left back. It's interesting. I've had someone send in a comment here. It's from AAMZ112. He says, left back is quite a confusing area of our squad. Kivior did well there in the league, but he isn't a proper solution as he has no pace. Zinchenko has huge lapses in concentration, both defensively and on the ball, which means a lot of opposition teams target him specifically. That's why Arteta didn't trust him enough to start him over Kivior. When Zinchenko inverts, he's excellent, but as an actual left back, let's be real, Tomiyasu is right-footed and not the quickest and quite bad on the ball. I think that's a little bit harsh on Tomiyasu. He's so much better on the ball now than he was. I think he's worked really, really hard on that. And unless the plan was for Timber to play as our main left-back, he seems solid defensively, good on the ball, but again, he's right-footed, then I think we need to bring in a natural left-back, left-footed with decent pace this summer. Sane was too quick and we couldn't cope with him yesterday. Again, I thought once Zinchenko came on, Arsenal coped with Sane a lot, lot better, but I thought it was a really interesting point from AAMZ112. The thing is, looking ahead to the summer, when Arsenal got a lot to do when it comes to transfers, you know, key areas of the squad that need sorted out, forward, winger, midfielder. Can you really invest in another left-back when you've got Zinchenko, Tomiyasu, Kivior and Timber in the squad? It feels a bit extravagant to me. And don't forget, you've got Kieran Tierney, who is a proper left-back, who has pace, left-footed, who everything you kind of talk about in this comment, Arsenal do have still on the books in Kieran Tierney. So maybe the easy option would just be bring him back. I don't think that'll happen, but maybe that is the easier option if you want that naturally left-footed left-back in the squad. So it's a really interesting point. I just think the left-back situation is just really interesting. I read Arsblog's post yesterday in the morning, and he was saying he thinks the left-back should come in the summer, and he's definitely not alone with that, as AMZ points out here. So it's one that's certainly one to watch, and what Arteta does going forward is going to be really, really interesting. I mean, Villa game on Saturday, he definitely has big decisions to make with the game against Bayern Munich coming thick and fast. Who you do play at left-back? Does Zinchenko start? I think Zinchenko probably starts that game. I think he played himself into the starting 11 for me. And you've got it until Wednesday night for the Munich second leg. So I think Saturday night to Wednesday night is a long enough gap where you don't really need to rotate too much, especially as Arsenal played their first leg on the Tuesday night. So I don't think rotation really comes into it for this Villa game. I think maybe form comes into it a little bit. Now, Gabriel Jesus, so, so good when he came on. Set up the goal for Trossard, looked really, really bright. Martinelli, a little bit disappointing for me. Maybe that was because he had Kivior behind him in the first half and Arsenal didn't get the ball to him quick enough. But, you know, is he fit? It was Arsenal certainly been trying to get him back fit for that first leg. Was that a little bit of a mistake? Did he? I'm not sure he looked anywhere near as lively as he usually does. So do you bring Jesus back into the team, play him out wide against Aston Villa, potentially play him out wide against Bayern Munich on Wednesday night? I think for Aston Villa, that's a really good option. I'd probably bring Martinelli back into the team for the Munich away game, given how I think I see that game going and the chances Arsenal are going to get on sort of quick turnover and transitions. I think you probably want Martinelli in the team for that one rather than Gabriel Jesus on the left-hand side. Maybe you play Jesus as a central striker instead of Kai Havertz, although I think Havertz has done so well in recent weeks at one fairly average game, which I think he probably did have against Bayern. You don't take him out of the side because of that. So, yeah, really interesting in terms of the changes Mikel's going to have to make. You know, Thomas Partey, did he come in against Aston Villa? You know, Jorginho played all 90 minutes against Brighton. He played, started against Bayern Munich as well. I think he probably starts in the second leg against Munich over in Germany. So do you rest him and bring Thomas Partey in for Aston Villa? I think you probably do. I think he'd be one of the changes that you're going to make there as well. So, yeah, some big decisions for Mikel Arteta to make. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. What would you be doing against Villa? Who would you be having the starting 11 for that game? Arteta's speaking tomorrow at his press conference, 1:30 p.m. at London Colney, the Shoke Realty Centre trading ground. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say there. But let me know your thoughts in the comments below. I just wanted to put a few flowers on Leandro Trossard. I think he deserves it. You know, brilliant goal, brilliant finish. I think he's got 13 goals now this season, Leandro Trossard. He's also scored 6 goals off the substitutes bench. That's more than anyone in Europe's top leagues this season. Real impact player, whether he starts or he comes on as a sub. Just a brilliant signing. Wonderful piece of January transfer business from Arsenal, especially when they wanted Mudryk, obviously, and had to kind of switch around really late to other targets to get that deal done once Mudryk had gone to Chelsea. Just been such a good addition to Arsenal, and he's such a valuable member of the squad, whether, like I said, he's starting or coming off the bench, and he can make those big, big moments like we saw against Bayern Munich. Of course, scored the goal that basically got Arsenal through as well in the previous round against Porto. So he's a big game player and just a fabulous piece of business. He was talking, actually, I thought it was interesting, his comments after the game on Tuesday night about the second leg. He said, I think it'll be a tough game there as well. They've shown today how they can hurt us. So I think we need to work on that for next week. And to be honest, I think if we're at our top level, we can beat them. I think maybe on the ball today, that wasn't the case. So we know what we're going to work on, but hopefully we can finish it there. The confidence is really high. Even without the game today, we've been playing so well in the last few weeks and months. and it's just nice that we had the equaliser. I think it was so important to go to Munich and have that result. So it's all to play for. Look, and these Arsenal players, they will believe they can win in Munich, no doubt about it. I've seen a lot of negative comments on social and replies to me saying, oh no, it's game over now, we're not going to be able to go and do it over there. I think that's rubbish, and I think this Arsenal team will think that's rubbish. They will believe they can win that. They know how important that equaliser was. The way, no away goals rule make it really, really important as well. It's basically just a 90-minute shoot-off now between Arsenal and Bayern Munich to go through. Arsenal missed a big opportunity in the first leg. They could easily have put that game to bed almost. I think they had the quality to do that. They had the momentum to do that. They didn't take advantage. They made some stupid errors at the back and basically gifted two goals away. They're going to have to improve in Munich, but I still think they can do it. Munich are not going to have Serge Gnabry for that game. Gnabry obviously haunting Arsenal, coming back to the Emirates and haunting Arsenal, scoring the first goal on Tuesday night. But he went off in the first leg with an injury, and Bayern have now confirmed he's going to be out for a few weeks. They've released a statement saying FC Bayern must do without Serge Gnabry for the time being. The winger suffered a muscle strain in his left hamstring in the 2-2 draw at Arsenal in the Champions League quarterfinal first leg, as confirmed by a scan by the FC Bayern medical department. So no Serge Gnabry in the second leg. I imagine they might all play Koeman, who's just come back from injury, and Leroy Sané. So it's not exactly like they're going to be still be suffering from weakness over on the flanks, given the two players they're going to have on those sides. But still, you know, for Arsenal, if you'd rather Gnabry not be there, as harsh as that sounds. So no Gnabry for Bayern in the second leg. Okay, before I wrap things up, just a few questions and comments from you guys. Obviously, normally I like to bring these up on screen, but I'm having to do it a little bit differently while I'm away. Jesmundo says, Saka traded a goal for a penalty, which he didn't get. He'd done the skillful bit, took it past the goalie. He could have tucked it away with his left. Instead, he threw his right foot into Neuer and went to ground. Unfortunately, modern players have this in their game, but if he'd trusted his ability, he could have done. He could have definitely scored. Players go down too easily these days. That's how I saw it. Frustrating. Nice one, Charles. Great content, dude. Gooners, yeah, I have to agree. I do think Saka definitely was looking for that penalty. I'm not surprised it wasn't given. I'm certainly not surprised it wasn't given by VAR as well. I know lots of people think it was a penalty, but I'm a bit surprised Saka didn't just try and go round, as Jesmundo says here, just go round Neuer, which he'd done, and score. I don't know why he had to throw his leg into the mix and try and get himself a penalty. Ryan says, do you think Saka one is one we've seen given? But like you, I can argue he looks too hard for it. But for me, the Gabriel one is stupid. I don't think there's a referee one on the planet that gives that. Big challenge next week, but we can do it. Yeah, the Gabriel one was an interesting one. It's been watching the fallout from that, and so many people disagreeing on whether that should have been a penalty or not. Look, by the letter of the law, it was a penalty. I said that yesterday, but I think it would have been incredibly harsh for a referee to give that. But on another day, another referee could have given it. So Arsenal were pretty fortunate. Conrad disagrees with Jesmundo and with Ryan. He said 100% a penalty. Adi Baya, I think, says we were nervous. It was obvious we weren't used to playing at such a high level, and it will take the team some time. And as much as I expect them to go through, it's a good learning experience for the team to go again. That's Adi Baya from Nigeria. Yeah, look, there was definitely a big learning experience for Arsenal. Experience comes into it at this stage of the competition, and it's something they're going to have to learn from. Goss431 says, a blessing in disguise question. Partey and Tommy need to be in the side for the rest of the season if we are to win something. We caused much of our own problems last night, but it showed up easily improved areas. Both need to start versus Villa to get some match fitness for the return leg and the league games to come. Vet Para says, hi Charles, couple of post-match thoughts. Given their pace out wide and ability to counter, we needed Rice as a six. I really like Jorginho ahead of Rice versus Liverpool, and I'm surprised we never saw that again. I agree. I thought we'd see that at Manchester City, and we didn't, and we could easily have seen it against Bayern. And then you say Martinelli versus Kimmich sounds like a mismatch, but we needed to give it to him sooner, easier alongside Zinchenko. Also, it probably would have made more sense to do it in the second half. Partey had a nightmare when he came on. I saw some people say sort of disagreeing with that and thinking Partey had a good cameo. He certainly gave the ball away a few times, but he did set up the chance for Saka at the end. Apart from him, I thought the subs were absolutely superb. Yeah, I thought Arteta got his substitutions right. No doubt about it. Right, that's it from me today, everyone. Thank you very much for your time. Anything you want to respond to, as usual, please do let me know in the comments. Not sure if I'll do a video tomorrow, but I will be putting out Inside Arsenal Extra Time, which is a Player of the Season special with myself and James Bench. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Until next time, have a great day, everyone. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Taylor Cetus.
Hey,
I'm Khaled Sinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.